but something kept her from shoving him back. No. Dominic leaned even closer, caressing the grating above Leslie's head, his chest not quite brushing hers. Your spouse is work-obsessed. He smiled, tasting her breath and letting her taste his. Have you other affairs? Blush bloomed on Leslie's cheeks. Is it a sin in your morality, reader, for a married person to admire the body of a stranger? Is she less entitled to recognize the beauty of firm buttocks or the motions of a practiced hand? And if you do consider it a sin, then am I right that this scene, virile Dominic with Leslie's small frame pressed against his, breast to breast, is more exciting for you because it is forbidden? Confess, reader. Something in you hungers for transgression here. Show me, Mycroft. Strip that antique costume from the flesh beneath. Show me whether this she-man wears a strap-on. And, if so, have him use it. This woman, Leslie, doomed from childhood to be the prize for rivals Occam and Ogiero, let her revenge herself on them by cuckolding the victor here. Let them do it against the wall, or upstairs with Mukta looking on. And, for contrast, throw in limp Eureka and Sydney lounging in the background, blind in their permanent masturbation with the computer. It was in your mind, reader, was it not? Complete with my he's and she's, which have infected you by now. But feel no guilt. It was in Leslie's mind as well, placed there by Dominic, who can summon more of the heat of pornography with a single gesture than I could with 1,000 words. Like Princess Danae, reader, he trains. I have no time, Mycroft, for these thine interruptions, thy speculations, thy patriarch, thy Hobbes. My fantasy is not thy business. Give me truth. What did they do? Leslie pressed herself back against the wall, gaining an inch of breathing room. As a matter of fact, I haven't. Dominic's eyes did not believe. This is an open bash, yes? How many of your unmarried Barsibs date outside the bash? Any angry ex-lovers? Leslie is herself uncomfortable with the fact that her very sensible impulse to kick this black law in the nuts did not recur. Cato's not interested. But Thisbe has some angry exes, yes, and the twins might too. It's hard to track what the twins get up to, but they're always dating at least 2 people between them, usually more. I see. Dominic shifted his stance, just brushing the side of her thigh with his half-hidden scabbard. And are there rivalries within the Sania Weeksbooth bash? He asked. Everyone's content with who does what work, who takes what shifts, who sleeps with whom? Everyone's content. Occam and I monitor it all very carefully. His smile widened as he leaned close enough to savor her shampoo. All 9 of you get along perfectly all the time, like little angels. Perhaps one as strong as Leslie did not tremble. Boshmates squabble. It's healthy. I said we monitor it carefully. He retreated a few inches, testing whether her flesh would follow his. You and Monsieur Sidney Coons are exceptions. But the other 7 were all born in this bash, yes? 7 children, and none of them wanted to go form a new bash with campus friends like a normal 20-something? That's very unusual. Her flesh did follow his, though possibly just to ease away from the wall. We like our work. And who's the weakest link in your bash? His fingers brushed the soft underside of her forearm. If I were a criminal, whom would I want to grab and torture? Who would break first? The touch of skin on skin was too much, broke the spell somehow, and Leslie scowled, pressing him away. I thought you said you were going to look at the house before you asked us questions.
That I did, madame. My apologies.
Dominic darted back at once, down the steps quick as a dragonfly. I'll start down here, shall I? He threw wide the door of Thisbe's room before Leslie could reply. There's someone in here, madame. Did you know that? Not one of your bash. What? Dominic grasped his sword hilt as he filled the doorway. Explain yourself.
I'm waiting for Thisbe, came a timid voice from below. I'm their sensei. It was Carlyle, reader. Mercifully, it was Carlyle. Back again with a fresh round of questions. But it could as easily have been the child.
Right, Leslie cried. I'd forgotten they were back again.
Sensei? Dominic repeated. Yes, can I help you? Carlyle approached, his pale face beaming energy, for he had risen full of strength that day, since March the 24th was the feast of the Norse god Heimdall, a day on which men had honored their creators in ages past and still do today. Dominic read Carlyle's body as a butcher scans the contours of a pig.
You're a sensei.
You too, I see. Carlyle nodded to the scarf on Dominic's shoulders. Are you a set-set specialist? Eureka Weeks' booth was hoping for one. Dominic stared, eyes marking the contours of Carlyle's face, the sharp blue of his eyes.
What's your name, cousine?
He pronounced cousin like the French feminine. Carlyle Foster?
Carlyle Foster.
Yes. Is something wrong?
How old are you?
Carlyle is, like Dominic and Leslie, in that medically extended stretch of youth that makes it impossible to distinguish 18 from 38.
28? Why do you ask? And you're a sensei?
Yes. The gag gene dug his fingers into his wrap, patterned today with abstract elephants in white on blue. Is something wrong? Dominic's laugh is complex. It begins with silence, a stare which drags out for a few seconds before the first breath comes, almost a hiccup. Then more silence before the next, staccato gasps closer and closer until finally the voice and bitter smile arrive together as Dominic throws his head back into a climactic, thirsty gasp. Carlyle shivered when he described the experience to me, and compared it to how he imagines John Calvin might have laughed as he witnessed some atrocity, smug at finding proof that this fallen world was truly as despicable as his sermons taught. Carlyle tried, he said, to ask what was so funny, whether he had done something wrong, but the horror of the laugh kept killing his words before they could take wing. In the end, Dominic answered only with the merciful command,
Get out.
What?
Get out of this room. You're distracting me from my investigation, Carlyle Foster.
He laughed again, as if the name revealed some new double entendre on second hearing.
Get out before I change my mind. You can wait for your Thisbe upstairs.
Carlyle was quickly herded out into the stairwell and almost tumbled into Leslie as Dominic sealed Thisbe's door behind him. To my knowledge, not even Martin has ever witnessed Dominic searching a room, so powerful is his preference for solitude. How does he work? By simple sight and touch? A concealed machine? By scent, perhaps? The insanity of his devotion driving his mind to develop that sense which feels most right for such a creature? Can you imagine him, reader, on his knees, boot leather creaking as he sniffs the carpet centimeter by centimeter? He answers happily enough to Canis Domini, Hound of the Lord, the old pun on Dominicani, the Dominican monks who hunted truth and heresy in heaven's name and that of their great founder. Whatever Dominic's technique, it misses nothing, not a hair, not a stain, not the handprint of a 5-centimeter soldier on the barrel of a marker I forgot to wipe.
Who was that?
Carlyle asked outside, still staring at the door. Dominic S. something. Leslie was still short of breath, but she turned a smile on Carlyle as the two found themselves united by mutual bewilderment.
Is it just me,
Or is that the weirdest person you've ever met? I'm something of a specialist, so I meet some odd people, but that was certainly in the top 10 for weird. She chuckled as she offered him a hand. We haven't met. I'm Leslie Sanier. He matched her smile. Nice to meet you, Member Sanier. Leslie, please. Leslie, Carlyle repeated. I think I remember hearing about a Black Law sensei called Dominic. You don't forget a name like that. What did you hear about them? Not much. I think they were well thought of by the conclave. She stared. Why? I could ask. Please do. Of course. He started composing a message through his tracker. Leslie, too, shut off quick messages to Occam, Martin, two security captains, and her president's office to make sure this improbable creature really was dispatched by Romanova. All would answer yes. I don't know whether it would feel normal for another Black Law, but I don't want someone like that as my sensei. My guess is they're a gadfly specialist. Some senseis practice a special aggressive style, so you can do a one-time session with them if you really want to be pushed to the core, and then you and your usual sensei work on the new questions it raises. The Black Law mystique would certainly work to enhance the feeling of danger. Leslie, who had tasted more deeply of Dominic's aggressive style, frowned. Carlyle mustered his most energetic smile. Speaking of returning to your usual sensei, would you like to talk about whether or not there's some kind of divinity or divine force in the universe? Leslie laughed a warm and healthy laugh, healing for both of them. Sure, why not? We're supposed to have a session soon anyway. We can get it over with. Good way to pass the time while we wait for that creature to get out of my house. Her feet strayed kitchenward. Come have some figs. One of the twins was on a crazy fig kick when they programmed the tree last month, so we've got a zillion more than we'll ever eat. Together, armed with kitchen warmth and metaphysics, the two spent a good hour erasing the after-chill of their encounter. They did not see Dominic again, they said, nor did the others in the Bash. He might have searched just Thisbe's room, or he might have passed through the whole house, silent as a plague. Either way, he vanished without another question. Chapter the 8th. A Place of Honor. Martin. Mycroft, thanks for calling back. Supposedly there was a device you had that you used to disrupt the trackers and make it seem you were in one place when you went another. I know the one you mean, Nepos. The Gyges device, called Canner device by many. We spoke Latin, reader, or rather its gentled grandchild, Masonic Neo-Latin, stripped of irregulars and excess declensions, but close enough to its imperial progenitor to invoke grand capitals and ancient marbles. I always cringe when I must translate Hive or Strat tongues into common English for you. But it is worse with Martin, knowing that he thinks so differently in the two tongues, and cringes himself when he sees his words conceived in the imperial tongue mangled by the vulgar. I will translate, to help you understand. But I have begged permission to leave in Latin words whose English sense is intolerably wrong. Take, for example, Nepos, this title of honor which marks Martin as the student, servant, intimate, and protege of his emperor, trusted even to sign laws and contracts in the emperor's name. To render Nepos as nephew for you would be one part translation, three parts lie. Martin, I believe the device might have been used in this Black Sakura theft. I saw your scan of the folded paper. Martin, what can you tell me about the device? Could it have penetrated the Sanir Weeksbooth Bash defenses? Are you asking me on behalf of Romanova and the law or privately? A pause proved that Martin understood the weight of my question.
privately. It was never in my hands, Nepos. I only ever had the packaging. I just pretended that I had the device to confuse the police. Please keep it private.